Hour number three of Sports Talk begins with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline to say hello to our good friend John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. You can follow his work at TexasSportsNation.com, which you can link to through Cron.com. And no doubt about it, a fantastic follow on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. John, right out of the chute, are you a candidate to become the next coach of the Houston Rockets?
I think I'm the only one that's not. Our longtime beat writer made a list, and he had 33 possibilities on there. And I'm thinking, boy, if they are somebody that's not on your list, that's going to be embarrassing. I remember one time when the Oilers needed to hire a head coach in 1990 after Jerry Glanville, they didn't renew his contract, and he left and went to the Falcons. My competition at the Houston Post listed 16 candidates, and he did not have my leading candidate, University of Houston coach Jack Pardee, who got the job. But I think the way they recycled them in the NBA, you can put together a pretty comprehensive list and know that one of them will get the job.
Now, all kidding aside, do you think there's any chance that that Knoxville native Elston Turner could have a shot being an assistant on the Rocket staff, or do you think they're looking for more of a proven head coach?
I think if they stay with someone on the staff, Elston would definitely have a chance, but I believe they're going outside the organization. They have to have somebody who can handle James Harden and Russell Westbrook, two superstars who just faded in a 4-1 loss to the Lakers. Nobody expected them to beat the Lakers, but they didn't expect them to win the first one and then go straight down the toilet. And James Harden struggles in the playoffs, in the big games, every year. So I think they will get a former head coach to come in here.
John, I know that you think a lot of DeAndre Hopkins, but 14 catches in his debut with Kyler Murray, did that even exceed your expectations?
It did, because that's a career high for him. I covered every one of his games, and I knew he would do well out there, and that's why they paid him a humongous and I'm happy that he got it. Would redo his deal with 3 years left? A lot of teams they called would redo a deal with 3 years left, knowing he wanted a $10 million a year raise, and the Cardinals didn't have a problem with it, so they made the trade. That's why they couldn't get more for him, because people act like they took a worse deal than they could have gotten. And I'm thinking, now, why in the world would they have done that? Nobody would do that. But Hop's off to a great start. Cardinals upset the 49ers. And because the Texans got creamed at Kansas City, then everybody wants to fire Bill O'Brien. Well, they want to fire him every day of the week anyway. So it doesn't matter what DeAndre does at Arizona. It's not going to make the pressure on him from the fans any less intense.
Were you a little disappointed in Tom Brady's debut and your thoughts on Bruce Arians' comments on Brady?
Well, I thought it was great. That's the way Arians operates. And he didn't show favoritism, and Brady didn't play well. And he said it, and he said it twice. Bill Belichick used to say it behind the scenes to Brady, in front of his teammates. He was harder on Brady than he was any player, and he did that, and Brady knew it was because he wanted to be an example. Well, if he's going to chew out the superstar, the greatest quarterback in history, I better get with the program. But in this case, Bruce Arians was critical, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because it's the truth. He didn't play very well. And the fact is, the Bucs looked like they were their offense. Their defense played pretty well. Their offense looked like it was playing in the preseason. Brady looked like he was playing in the preseason. We didn't see bad, really bad football like we could have, considering no preseason and no offseason program. And it was pretty exciting, but the Bucs were a huge disappointment. And I'm glad, because I picked the Saints, and I picked the Saints to beat Baltimore in the Super Bowl, and after 1 week at least, I'm feeling pretty good.
With the way Aaron Rodgers struggled, you think Jordan Love will get the start in week two?
Yeah, I think Jordan Love was warming up in that game, and they were eager to put him in because Rodgers is too old, and they didn't get him any receivers. Think how many points the Packers would have scored, and that's the most, I believe, the Vikings have ever given up in a first game. Think how many points they would have scored if they'd actually got him some help. You know, all that whining and crying in the offseason, poor old Aaron Rodgers doesn't have any receivers from the mean old Packers, and then they go out and score more than 40 and beat their division rival.
What did you think about some of the other debuts when it came to old faces in new places? Let's start in the division. You had Phillip Rivers, who we'll just say his day didn't match up against Gardner Minshew's in Jacksonville, did it?
The mustache only had one incompletion, didn't throw for a lot of yards, didn't throw the ball down the field much, but he threw three touchdowns and no interceptions. And all that tanking for Trevor, so many of us predicted, for 1 week at least, is not coming to fruition. And people are saying, well, now they'd pass up Trevor Lawrence for Gardner Minshew. And I'm thinking, no, I don't think they would. I think what they do is they take Trevor Lawrence, keep Minshew, play Lawrence when he's ready, and then trade Minshew. And if he's playing well, that might help him get something for them. Phillip Rivers did just what he did last year. He threw too many interceptions. Threw for a lot of yards. They didn't have to punt. But you can't throw those interceptions and drop passes at crucial times. To me, that game was the biggest surprise of the weekend. Second was Washington beating Philadelphia. And, of course, Dan Snyder had nothing to do with it. But for one of the few times, you can say Washington, and it's not negative. And they're in first place in the NFC East. I'm sure it won't last long. They better get a good picture of it. But still, a great way to introduce Ron Rivera to the Washington fans. He's battling cancer, one of the great guys in the NFL. I was really happy for him.
Yeah, Washington all alone in first place in the atop the Eastern Division. What about Cam Newton's debut? What did you think in terms of right off the bat? He gets to, set a new single-game rushing record for a Patriots quarterback with a couple of touchdowns.
Well, listening to people in New England, and it's a lot of people around the country, they acted like Cam Newton just won the Super Bowl or he's some kind of Superman. What he did is he didn't turn it over. He was efficient. He ran for two touchdowns because he's a good runner. He didn't throw for much because he doesn't have good receivers. And they beat Miami. And the interesting things, the Dolphins were awful. But last year and the year before, the Dolphins had a knack of pulling upsets or scaring the Patriots with Brady. So Cam Newton beat them. And I don't see the Patriots going across the country and winning at Seattle, especially with a magnificent opening performance by Russell Wilson. But if they did go there and pull an upset, my goodness, what a great start for Bill Belichick and the Patriots when everybody's picking Buffalo. Not everybody, but just about everybody picked Buffalo to win the division.
Baker Mayfield and the Browns struggle against Baltimore. Now the Browns play Cincinnati, and I've already seen with some ESPN commentators saying, who would you rather have, Baker or Burrow? Has Baker Mayfield's stock fallen that far?
Well, first of all, watching football this weekend, which I could do because the Texans didn't play, it seemed to me Mayfield had more commercials than he had completions. Every time I looked up, there's a Baker Mayfield ad. And it's a national ad, and he's making a lot of money, and I'm happy for him. I think, you know, he's on his third coach in 3 years. He's got another system to learn. And I saw somebody that I respect, and I can't remember who it was, a former NFL person, saying he's trying to be too much like Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, trying to move around, throw on the run, when he's basically a pocket passer. They need to make sure he stays in the pocket. You know, his rookie year, he was tremendous for a rookie. And as far as having him or Joe Burrow, what did Joe Burrow do? Ran for a touchdown? I mean, Joe Burrow may go to the Hall of Fame, and he may be like Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston. So at least Mayfield's going into his third year. I just feel like if Mayfield, he needs better coaching and he needs better discipline, and he needs to focus on what his strengths are and don't try to be somebody else so you can get commercials. Although it's, can you imagine how many commercials he'd have if he could actually win?
we've heard a lot of talk about running the position of running backs being devalued and not that many running backs taken that high in the draft. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire was, what, the 32nd player, and it was the running first running back taken. But I want to get to this point. Alvin Kamara signs a 5-year extension, $75 million. Dalvin Cook, 5 years at about $63 million. Do you think that those teams overpaid for the value of a running back, or do you think those guys are worth that?
No, I think they paid what they had to pay. It started with Christian McCaffrey getting the best deal. And they still, they're really good contracts. I guess it started last year when Zeke Elliott held out to get what he wanted. And it's amazing to me how it was such a rush on those quarterbacks right before the season started. And I'll tell you who's devalued is Saquon Barkley, because that guy, because of his offensive line against the Steelers, my goodness, you talk about smothered, suffocated, he was. And I'm sure he'll bounce back because Pittsburgh's defense is great. It was great last year. They didn't make the playoffs because Ben Roethlisberger was out. But it's fun to see these guys get paid because the owners have the money. If they didn't have the money, they wouldn't be paying that money. And nobody takes a bigger beating than running back. So I'm all for every one of them getting every dollar possible.
Our guest, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. We've got another segment with John coming up as you listen to Sports Talk. We've got more coming your way on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
Looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately.
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
This is Sports Radio WNML.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. And, John, with the start of any season, you can't wait to get your first look at rookies in their new spots. What would you say about some of the rookie quarterbacks who made their debut? Let's start with Joe Burrow.
First of all, it's going to be so much tougher for rookies this year, not just quarterbacks, but every position. If you think of how difficult it is anyway, even when they have OTAs where they're getting on-field coaching, mini camps, rookie mini camp, veteran mini camp, then they have four preseason games and joint practices. So they have so much, they have more resources to help them develop in ordinary years. Now that a virtual off-season program, no preseason, and they got to go in and quarterback an NFL team. So Joe Burrow came close. But the fact is, he still plays for the worst team in the NFL. And it's only a matter of time before we see Justin Herbert with the Chargers, even though Anthony Lynn loves Tyrod Taylor. Everybody loves Tyrod Taylor. It's kind of like Jesus. Jesus loves everybody. Loves Tyrod Taylor. But the fact is, everywhere he goes, they draft a quarterback number one, and they play him over Taylor. So you got a high investment in a quarterback. Your team's not very good. Play him. You got an excuse for losing. You're going to get a higher pick. And Tua Tagovailoa, when he gets to play, and it's only a matter of time because Fitzpatrick was awful in the first game. Usually Fitzy's better early, and then he fades. And right now, Tua's going to be in that lineup quicker than a lot of people seem to think, and I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to see all these rookies, and it's hard to believe that anybody would give a rat's, you know what, about Cleveland and Cincinnati Thursday night. I guess they want to just get them out of the way, but the fact is we're going to get to see a lot of Baker Mayfield commercials, and we're going to get to see Joe Burrow for the first time since he won the national championship game on national television.
Now, there's also the flip side of that coin. You have rookies that want to make a big first impression. I don't think there's any question that the Lions are thrilled to have DeAndre Swift. Broncos excited about what Jerry Jeudy brings to their team. But Jeudy had a couple of key drops at moments when the Broncos were trying to beat the Titans and came up short. Swift, of course, had a chance to help the Lions salt away the game. And he also couldn't hang on to it. How tough is it when that first step, essentially, that you're known for out of the box is not the right one?
I felt so sorry for Swift. I think anybody would other than Bears fans, because the ball was right in his hands when he came out of Georgia. The scouts said one of his strengths is being able to catch the ball, and he just dropped it. And your heart had to go out for the kid. Now, I don't like Matt Patricia. I'm glad they lost for him. They're like lost nine leads in, since he's been there in the fourth quarter. And I think he's not long for the head coaching world. He'll be like Josh McDaniels. He'll be back being a coordinator after he gets fired in Detroit. As far as Jerry Jeudy, yeah, he had two drops, but he didn't lose that game. Vic Fangio,
right,
the head coach, did a terrible job of clock management. Had he used his timeouts when he should have, when Tennessee had the ball, he would have gotten the ball back with 1 minute and 7 seconds left, needing a field goal.
John, regarding teams that lose the Super Bowl, a lot of them the next year seem to have a hangover. Do you think that's what happened with San Francisco, or do you think they'll be fine, they'll bounce back, and they'll be a playoff team?
I didn't pick the 49ers to win the division. I picked Seattle because of that post-Super Bowl hangover. Never been able to figure it out, Jimmy. When you lose a Super Bowl, you would think that team should be the most motivated team in the NFL during offseason. Mm-hmm. So hungry, they're slobbering for 6 months for a chance to get back and get that close again. But that's not how it works. Usually the championship teams that lose there have a more likely chance to get back. And so I think the 49ers will probably make the playoffs. But I certainly don't think they're a Super Bowl contender this year. But I didn't think they were last year either, and I was wrong about that.
What did you think of the performance of Dallas and Dak Prescott at the Rams?
I thought they would score more points. I watched the Rams in Hard Knocks. I didn't buy into them like I have Hard Knocks teams in the past. I tried to learn my lesson with the Browns, and they fired – didn't renew Wade Phillips' contract, defensive coordinator, which in essence inspired him. And McVay brought in a friend of his. He did a terrific job. Cowboys had number one offense in the NFL last season. I still don't agree with the offensive interference call that was called at the end of the game to rub out a long Cowboy completion. I know a lot of people don't like the Cowboys, thought it was a great call. And I understand the rule, but I just don't think at that time of the game, unless it's blatant, that it should be called, because it certainly affected the outcome.
What are your thoughts on Dak Prescott, how good of a quarterback he is, and whether you think Dallas should find a way to pay him what he wants?
People acted like it was more about the length than the money, Jimmy. Now the price is going to go up. You know, if he gets – 2 years ago, they won division. They went to the playoffs. They beat Seattle in the first round. They lost to the Rams. And Rams went to the Super Bowl. Last year, they did not get to the playoffs. So they bring in Mike McCarthy. He won a Super Bowl at Green Bay, and I think they should be better. I picked them to win the NFC East. A lot of people picked Philadelphia. I guess we should have picked the Washington football team. And I just think that that Dak Prescott is a good, really good quarterback who's great at times. Good leader, great guy to community. Everybody respects him. Who else are they going to get that's better with the general manager that they have there?
Well, and we had this caller earlier, but my understanding, and I heard this reported multiple times, Dallas wanted to give him a 5-year deal. He wanted a 4-year deal. The money wasn't that. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, that's what everybody said. Is it worth not doing it? Because if they do it next year, it's going to cost more money. They should have done a 4-year deal and then not worried about it. I don't understand why the deal would fall apart over 1 year. Now, if they franchise him again or sign him to a new contract, it's going to cost more than it would have cost going into this last season. Usually, the longer you take, the more it's going to cost you. And that's why teams that do deals and people go, oh, my God, how could he pay that guy so much money? A year later, you look pretty darn smart.
It's interesting. I think it's the first time it's happened since the merger. and that is every team that was on the road last week is at home this week, and so nobody will have two straight home games or road games to start the season. Has anything changed in if the Texans will have any fans in the stands on Sunday?
No, the Texans will have no fans in the stands for the Ravens coming in here, and it wouldn't matter because the Ravens are going to obliterate them anyway. And it's interesting that the only two teams that allowed to sell tickets, I think Denver let in 500 people that were friends and family members, but Jacksonville, which couldn't even sell 14,000 tickets, sold 10 and they won. Kansas City sold 15 and they won. And I know the Texans, Jerry Jones says he's going to put 25% into his stadium, and I'm pretty sure the Texans will announce soon that their next home game here against Minnesota on October 4th, they will have a small number of fans.
What are you working on for Sunday, John?
I'm working on a thing for tomorrow about the Titans showed in the playoffs how you can give up a lot of yards running and passing to Lamar Jackson and still win. And I don't think the Texans can do it, but they got the blueprint. And we've got podcasts. We've got a TV show. Everything's on TexasSportsNation.com.
John, we appreciate it. Have a great week. We look forward to catching up with you next Wednesday.
John and Jimmy, thank you very much as always. I hope you guys have a great week, and I look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.